Today is Tuesday, April 10th, and this episode is mostly about social media and crypto.
And when we say social media, of course, we're talking about Facebook, because Facebook is in the news.
I have to admit that I think that Facebook is handling the news apocalypse, the privacy Mageddon. I don't know. I tried to come up with something clever, and I got nothing. I think they're handling that really astonishingly well. They're doing an amazing job deflecting everything.
That's sarcasm, right? Because they couldn't possibly screw this up anymore.
Oh, they can't. Oh, they've just admitted that 2.2 billion users' data has been compromised.
That's everybody, right?
That's literally that's all everybody. They've got.
Yeah. Well, they're not saying it's been well, I guess they are and they aren't. They're saying you should go ahead and assume. Basically, they're saying this has kind of been our policy, so yeah, just, you know, to prevent any further upset, let's just go ahead and assume that everybody's been compromised.
If this were a water system, this would be Flint, Michigan. So,
but they say it's scraping, which, in other words, what they mean is there is no way for you to hide yourself to their paying customers. You are not the paying customer. So you are the product that is being sold to the paying customers, and they basically let whoever wanted to look at your stuff.
That is perhaps the most amazing segue in the history of Level 1 News segues, because in an interview with Sheryl Sandberg, you know, the answer, it's, you know, that's the director of this kind of stuff inside of Facebook, is saying that without targeted, you know, data-targeted ads, Facebook would be like, you know, a pay service. So literally, you giving up your data is how Facebook makes money. And they're saying, well, if we want to make money some other way, you're going to have to pay for Facebook.
Do you think there's any chance that they would stay in business? I don't think I know anybody who would actually pay.
No.
I mean, it would have to be a very low amount, and they would have to try to do it by volume. But even then, I don't see it.
I'm pretty sure that I've read things in like the American Psychological, like the quarterly magazine for psychologists, that say that Facebook is literally creating complexes in people, because, you know, you go on social media and it makes you depressed because you see all the awesome things that other people are having, but they're not really, other people aren't really having an awesome time. They're just posting to social media to make themselves feel better about their life by making other people feel bad about theirs.
Well, I've seen a lot of stories about people who are actually going way into debt to try and facilitate their online persona. Because, you know, clearly real people don't live like that. You know, it's like, what was the show? The show Friends on Fox, and everybody who lived in New York was like, that apartment is like $8,000 a month, and these people are unemployed. How is this happening? They work at a coffee shop. So it's, I think online personas are sort of following that same trend.
That makes a lot of sense. So there's got to be other stones, though, other commercial stones that can be turned, like merging your social profile data with your medical records.
Somebody dug this up. Whatever reporter got a hold of this, you know, they were just like, it was like a dog finding a pristine, what's that beef?
A dinosaur bone?
No, it's like, what's the beef from Japan that's like perfectly marbled?
And, Wagyu?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like a mutt getting a piece of that. Because what a terrible time. It turns out that they were actually sending doctors to hospitals to try and talk to them about, it's like, hey, we would like to join your medical data with our advertising profiles. What do you think about that?
Oh, that brings the whole Zuckerberg Memorial Hospital into a whole new...
Now, they did say that they wanted to hash the data so that they wouldn't necessarily see your name and your identifying information, but
we know how well that works.
Yeah. And that's sort of like, of course they would know. There's so many data points. It would be very easy medical data is pretty specific and Facebook data is pretty specific. So it would be trivial.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter that they don't have your name. I mean, if they had your, you know, billing information for like, you know, your library card, they could match that up. So it'd be trivial. Or they could get with whoever scraped the 2.2 billion profiles and just match it up that way.
Or they could go on your timeline and be like, oh, going into surgery, and then look at that date and be like, oh, that's who this is.
Well, clearly Facebook is serious about your privacy because they let you choose aliases and stuff for your name. Oh, they don't?
They got the real name policy.
Oh.
Now, they've said that they're going to suspend the hospital program. But suspend, not completely abandon? That's crazy.
In other news, Facebook apparently scans the photos and links you send on Messenger. So I guess this is, I would like to see these things combined. Like, you know, it's like, hey guys, my colonoscopy was amazing this year, 20 likes. That would be something, right?
If you're sharing MRI and x-ray data on Facebook, you're oversharing. Don't do that. But yeah, this...
You think this growth is benign?
You could crowdsource your... It's like, I'm not going back and paying the doctors for this. Could somebody who knows just tell me?
Just post on your timeline. I need somebody to lance this boil. Anybody? I need to take the lowest bid.
Now, they're saying that the only reason they do this is because we've seen this before where they have like hashes of child pornography. So everything you send through Facebook is being run through that. So that's okay, maybe. But they also say they enforce the community standards on all the photos. I don't think an algorithm could do that. So
certainly my boils would not be up to the community standards.
If you're sending any picture through Facebook Messenger, you have to assume that somebody's looking at it. The text is being, you know, trolled by the AI at all times.
This is getting a little bit into the 1984 territory. Next, you're going to tell me that they can just delete messages like as if they never existed out of other people's inboxes.
Well, of course, they would never do that. I mean, in the wake of all this controversy, if that came out, that might be the tipping point, right?
I mean, surely people would grab their torches and pitchforks and rally against Facebook if it came to light that they were selectively memory-holing things that Zuckerberg may have said in the past in conversations with other people. It would be like me going into your inbox and deleting all of your messages because, you know, we were having oh, wait, that actually happened. Facebook has retracted, is what they're calling it, Zuckerberg's messages from recipients' inboxes.
That's such a nicer word, isn't it? Retracted.
Now, this came out, and like clockwork, the PR division of Facebook, like within 4 hours, came out and said, oh, it's cool. We're making this feature available to other people, too. We were just trialing it with the Zuck.
But it's crazy because it's like, it's 1984 and we're memory holing things. But their answer isn't to stop memory holing. It's to let everybody memory hole. Like, just why should anybody ever remember anything?
Do that? Why?
Well, wasn't it true that the people that downloaded their data found all of their
deleted videos.
Messenger, but wasn't the Messenger messages in there too?
There were Messenger messages in there too, but they have since said that was a bug, not a feature.
Oh, right, yeah. So, do you think Zuckerberg's secret Facebook data saved those messages, even though he...
Oh, yeah, it's going to... Well, when you delete that, I mean, it's going to take it a while for it to rotate out of the backups anyway. The scary thing, though, is like if you were somebody, you know, for some reason you were having a conversation with the Zuck on Facebook Messenger, and you go back and you look at your messages... Your responses are still there. So it just looks like this weird, creepy, you know, like stalker-esque message. Like, hey, you there? Okay, yeah, my day was pretty good. How are you doing? Yeah, I really think we... And there's just never any kind of response from Zuckerberg. So it's a little unsettling.
It goes back to 2010, at least. I think there was some in 2014. And of course, In every article about Facebook ever, you should bring up what he said about the Harvard accounts, which is, what is it, like these dumb fucks or something like that.
Yeah.
They trust me. So, of course, they brought that up here. And you kind of get the impression that the handlers at Facebook was like, Mark was learning to be a real boy during that time. He can't be held responsible for the things that he said.
I don't know if it was a joke or not, but I did. There was a report from one journalist that said that he was taking classes for charm and charisma ahead of his meeting with the Senate, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, so I can only assume that he'd said some more very stupid things, and someone looked at them and was like, No, Mark. They hit him with a water bottle, you know, and it's like, you've got to be a human.
A spray bottle. Yeah. It would be easy to try to teach him. I would hate to have that job. I mean, just, switching gears slightly, we're going to come back to Facebook, but the European General Data Protection Policy thing, we're less than 2 months away from that. So if you work in any industry where you handle people's personal data and you have to deal with people in Europe and you haven't done anything, that's probably bad. Probably going to have to deal with that. But Zuckerberg has said that Facebook is going to offer the European-style GDPR privacy controls everywhere, the whole world. So I really just think this is a PR move.
Well, they kind of walked it back and forth. Because at first there was a correction. It's like, no, he didn't say exactly that. And then they corrected that and they're like, well, yeah, we're going to roll them out everywhere. It's not going to look exactly the same. So in essence, I think what they're saying is we have to do it in Europe. We're going to do something like this everywhere else, but it's not going to be the same.
Now, I want to read you the update because there was more than one update on this. 3 p.m. Pacific, a Facebook spokesperson tells TechCrunch that Facebook does have plans to comply with the GDPR privacy rules around the world, not just provide controls and settings, as Zuckerberg mentioned. For example, Facebook offers the download your information option globally to comply with data portability rules, blah, blah, details collection on how your data is being processed, and provides opt-out to comply with consent rules. Now, one of the other things that they're doing with this is on your timeline, they're going to show you all the applications that you've shared data with. If we were to step back for a second and just summarize what Facebook is doing here, they are throwing all of their app vendors and everybody that they've ever worked with under the bus. So they're saying, hey, we get it. We want to protect your privacy. But those app providers, I mean, we had no idea this was a new technology. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know the repercussions. Please, please don't stop using our platform. So you're going to see Facebook throw a lot of app vendors under the bus with this thing while they're doing their audit. And this, you know, compliance policy with the European rules, they might not keep your data, but the European rules, you can keep hashed versions of the data. And for Facebook's purposes, doing that on an individual basis is not really a big deal. Like, they'll still be able to market to you and do all sorts of, you know, pigeonholing in terms of advertising to specific, you know, whatevers. So just something to keep in mind.
How long do you think it's going to be before somebody uncovers a PowerPoint presentation where they were offering exactly this to those third parties, you know, like selling it to them? It's like, oh yeah, we can totally do that. This is exactly what you're going to be able to scrape if you do business with us.
If you're an advertiser and you want to advertise to, you know, Inuit widows named Vilma, Facebook can get that specific without actually giving you that data. And that's what we're going to see as a result of this. It's not really a change in the status quo, unfortunately. But you better believe they're going to light on fire all of the application vendors that have been involved in this in an effort to avoid any kind of actual repercussions for themselves. So what we're saying is that, you know, American lawmakers are going to investigate Facebook and get to the bottom of this whole privacy thing. The Russians are in here, or the Russians are not in here, or sold to the highest bidder. 2.2 billion IDs scraped. Maybe it's just an elaborate identity laundering scheme, but senators are going to investigate. There's a congressional hearing. It's going to be a big deal, right?
They sprang into action, and I can't think of any reason that they would have any sort of partisanship here or any reason they would show favorability to such a terrible, terrible company.
Definitely not the millions of dollars lining their pockets from Facebook.
Well, it turns out that the contributor, one of the biggest contributors to most of the people that will be questioning Zuckerberg at this inquiry, is Facebook.
You know what was really weird about this? More Republican money than Democrat money.
Two-thirds. It's a two-to-one ratio almost.
And, you know, Facebook, like, at least publicly, they're very lefty. But I guess they know where the bread is buttered.
Yeah, the article was careful to mention that historically it's been a 50-50 split, but since the last election, it's been a two-thirds split.
Yeah. So, well, you know, the Republicans did take more power, especially in the tech sector. They pointed out a couple of different committees, and these are the committees that literally are the ones that are going to be grilling him, and they are in charge of a lot of the Silicon Valley type stuff. And of course, that's where most of the donations went, was to those committees.
Now, before everybody gets a sense of smug self-satisfaction for not having used Facebook or not participating in it or only feeding it bad data, imagine a world where you had no choice. There was literally no choice. You had to use Facebook. And I know what you're thinking. That's crazy. Nobody actually has to do that. But you're not thinking about the communications infrastructure providers. What about Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon? They're corporate companies, too. They don't really have any special rules they have to follow under the law.
Yeah, and so Facebook, of course, we've talked about, they have the like buttons. The like buttons are, of course, a surveillance network. Every website you go to has them, and Facebook follows you based on them because they're loading code from Facebook. But when you think about Comcast and AT&T, they don't need that. They literally have the pipeline. They know exactly what you're doing. Yeah, yeah. So, and then we also know that it has that gone through yet? Are they allowed to start selling that data yet? I think it's soon.
No, yeah, it's already, yeah. It's so crazy that Verizon Wireless on their network embeds a unique code in the header of unencrypted web traffic. They got in trouble for that. We reported on that. I'm hard-pressed to literally think of a more sociopathic company than Verizon.
And when you talk about the previous story of political money, we know who owns the FCC. It's painfully, painfully obvious at this point. So you really do, you have to, you look at the Facebook thing, it's a microcosm of everything about the internet right now.
Let me make it real simple for you. Facebook is here in terms of level of sociopathic tendencies, which, I mean, coming from us, that's, you know, but level of technical capability, Facebook is up here. But if you look at Verizon, level of sociopathic tendency is up here. Technical capability is down here. If Facebook can be embroiled in the Cambridge Analytica thing, Verizon, had they even been able to figure that out, would have been Cambridge Analytica times a million. They've literally stated on the record that's where they want to be. They literally stated that inserting that tracking code in your mobile stuff is the goal, is to do exactly that kind of tracking that Cambridge Analytica was doing. So where's the outrage?
Is it like that meme where like they have the guy with the brain?
Yeah.
And it's like the worst one is Verizon.
I think you left Google out of that.
Oh, yeah, Google.
Because Google's the next step up and then the ISPs. And Google is even further on technical capability.
I'm not sure where Google is on that sociopathic scale, but I'm not sure.
No, it's pretty high. Yeah. It's more than Facebook. The other thing that you have to keep in mind is these companies are kind of desperate because often the ISP and the old TV company are still one. And they're losing money hand over fist on that traditional media. Some of them even have radio. And so
we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, they're trying.
Or the next episode.
They're trying to make up for lost revenue on the TV side. And selling data seems like a really good way to do that, right? I mean, hey.
Yeah, it's a really too little too late approach. But without a top-down approach, individuals are not going to be able to take advantage of this. Really, the only thing to do is to separate infrastructure providers from people that benefit from the data that flows over that infrastructure. You can't, otherwise it's a conflict of interest. It can't not be a conflict of interest.
Which is the opposite approach the FCC is taking. So, not going to happen.
Twitter is in the news this week. They banned 270,000 accounts for promoting terrorism. They've also sort of doubled down on the whole, like, you know, if you call someone a bitch or something like that, they'll ban you for 12 hours. They've really stepped that up lately, too.
Yeah. What if you're doing it as a friendly thing? Like, hey, bitch, let's go shopping this weekend.
I don't think the AI can...
Can determine?
Yeah, it doesn't know the nuances.
So don't make fun of your friends.
You have to put the proper emotes after bitch so that it knows.
Is it the crying face?
Like, you can roll in the dice with the human reviewer, and it could just, you know, it's like... It's probably somebody in India that doesn't understand the cultural idioms, so it's just...
Like, I wouldn't like to be called that.
They also mentioned some of the right-wing people are, you know, continuing to be... The gun stuff, of course, you know, that's big in the news. So Twitter definitely doubling down on controlling speech.
Now, our next story was a little surprising to me, because I know what Twitter is, and I know how Facebook works internally, and our Twitter, Tinder. I know what Tinder is, and I know how Facebook works internally, but I was surprised that the Facebook privacy controls have broken Tinder.
Does it use your profile to like generate its profiles?
No,
I wouldn't think so.
No, it's like an OAuth thing. Like, so something internally on Facebook, when you were trying to log in with your Facebook account, it was like Facebook needs more permissions. Because I guess Tinder was probably looking at your friends' profiles or something.
People can log in.
Yeah,
with
and
Facebook.
So Facebook had changed something to fix this, but you couldn't do it. You would be like, okay, I'll give you more permissions, and it would ask you to log in again, and it would just loop.
Oh, poor Nima. It's like, I give it all the permissions when I log in.
How are you supposed to find your best friends, your new best friends on Tinder?
Oh, yeah, your best friend. And that is sort of, that represents, I think, a lot of the modern internet user. It's like, do whatever you want. Just looking to bang. It's okay, fine. Let me in, please.
No, that's not what that's for. It's to make new friends.
Oh, yeah, right.
Try that out and let us know how that goes.
It's for Netflix and meaningful conversation, right?
Obviously.
Also, really big news this week. Very sort of serious and somber. YouTube is going to increase security at all of its offices worldwide following a shooting. So in case you're living under a rock, there was a shooting on YouTube's campus in San Bruno, California. And it was literally just a crazy person. And I don't want to give them more attention than that. But it was a crazy person who just decided to go on a shooting spree, because that's a thing we have in America.
Now, these extra security personnel, do you think they'll be using strong words against the intruders? No. Pepper spray?
Probably not.
Batons?
Mm.
Well, how are they going to protect them?
Teen monitoring apps don't work. They just make teens hate their parents, studies find. So, yeah, if you're a parent and you install a monitoring app on your phone, probably bad.
I would disagree, but I mean, yeah. So what if your kid hates you? Yeah, maybe they're a terrible kid and you need to monitor.
You should read
them.
This article because it showed that they weren't good at actually keeping them from getting into things. Kind of like the porn filters.
Oh, it's just a...
There's no way.
I guess, yeah, at a software level, that's not really going to be effective. You should be talking to your kids about what they're doing online and not just expecting it to babysit you.
That's kind of what this goes into, is that the kids, like, it just annoyed them and they could easily get around it and they just kind of had contempt for the parents. And the people that use this tend to be like hands off, like, I'm going to do this and then everything is good.
Yeah.
And so the kids would then not trust their parents. And then when they talk to the people online, the creeps, they would instead trust them.
Well, that's exactly the result you should be going for, right? I mean, that's just how it goes. I've also seen apps like this used to try to control teens, but like for the apps that monitor chat and stuff. But the teens very quickly learn to just speak in code. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, girl, would you like to come make a cherry pie? Yes, I would very much like double cherry pie even. Let's do that.
What does that stand for?
I don't know.
Is that a t-shirt? Like, is that what the kids call it? I don't think that's what the kids call it.
The old DCP, eh?
I think that's what that's... I don't know. I'm so out of it. It's just not even a thing. Load the next article. Load. Save me. Okay. Japan's FSA has ordered 2 cryptocurrency exchanges to halt business. In case you don't realize, we switched to cryptocurrency news. So yeah, these 2 cryptocurrency exchanges, it's not that Japan is really cracking down on cryptocurrency. If you read into this, it turns out that these 2 exchanges were not following rules that the regulators had set for them. And so they're doing this as punishment. They have to shut down for 2 months as punishment.
This is from the CoinCheck NemCoin heist, where the people got away with 3.6 billion in NemCoins. Who knew that there were 3.6 billion worth of NemCoins out there? And so they've been cracking down, and they're saying that these 2 online brokers have not done the minimum, and so they will be shut down.
I somehow believe that if they sold all of the 3.6 billion NemCoin, that would be worth suddenly way less.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know how you liquidate that.
Or how you like really truly estimate the value. It turns out that doing that kind of stuff is actually sort of challenging, like figuring out, because if you've got that much of it and you sell it all at once, that's going to affect the market.
Yeah. Well, you could bleed it out slowly over time, I imagine, but not if all the exchanges shut down. So.
Also back in cryptocurrency news this week, George Soros, of all people, wait, isn't he one of these standard industrial, you know, financiers, moguls, whatever?
Well, he's reportedly the guy behind most of the like Black Lives Matters and the teen anti-gun movement. And he likes to foment. He's kind of like the Russians. He just wants us to fight.
He wants to meddle.
But this is not him personally. This is one of his trading groups or companies or whatever.
He's going to trade cryptocurrencies.
He actually spoke at one of those rich people conventions. And he was
they called it? Oh, rich people convention.
That's what it boils down to. And he was like, you know, no, Bitcoin is going to continue to fall. Cryptocurrencies are terrible. And so it's kind of like, were you just talking it down so that you can invest in it later?
Turns out, yeah.
But yeah, his people have been given the green light to start trading in cryptos.
I like the cryptocurrencies bubble in January. Now his 26 billion family office is planning to trade digital assets.
Now we should mention that just trading doesn't mean he could be going short. Maybe he really does believe what he said.
Well, you know who doesn't believe in cryptocurrency? India. India has banned cryptocurrency trades and purchases. So if you're in India, no more cryptocurrency for you.
Hasn't that been the case for a while now?
Not India. Well, you can still trade cryptocurrency, but a bank cannot do business with a cryptocurrency exchange. So unless you find somebody who is willing to trade in cash somehow, then they pretty much banned it.
Or you're going to be trading currency from, you know, one format to another or whatever. Like one
different type of coin.
Yeah, and but you're going to have to deal with all of your assets out of the country, which seems like that would be problematic.
At least you don't have to pay taxes.
Oh, taxes.
Everybody remember Mt. Gox? I don't remember Mt. Gox. What happened with Mt. Gox up till now?
Well, that was, of course, the Magic the Gathering online exchange.
And then it became a cryptocurrency trading platform.
It was maybe the biggest Bitcoin platform for a couple years, maybe several years.
And then there was a terrible incident.
There was a problem, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. They actually sent me a check for $10. I never cashed it.
Wow.
But, it's money in the bank, man.
Well, I don't remember. I had maybe like, you know, and this was when Bitcoin was cheaper, because I might have had like 0.1 Bitcoin on there at some point.
It's worth a lot more than $10 now.
And they tried to pay me back. So they went through this Japanese, this is a company in Japan, of course, because this guy, he's not Japanese, but he went to Japan to sort of chase the crypto craze. And they did a liquidation because they were hacked and there was some nefarious stuff that went on. And now at the end of the liquidation, because Bitcoin is worth so much more now, after everybody's been paid back and the class actions were settled and everything, there's $1 billion left over in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And he's saying he doesn't want it because he feels bad.
He feels bad, and he also doesn't want people to send assassins after him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people are that serious. Well, yeah. I mean, it's sort of a big deal. People are sort of serious about that.
I don't know what do you do if you don't want it? I don't think, because in the court, you have to take possession of it, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's an interesting situation. Now, he might just be saying that, you know, it's like, yeah. It's like turn down a compliment. It's like, oh, no, I could never take
it. Thank you.
Maybe $500 million. Oh, I couldn't even. Need another one.
At least unlike a lot of the other cryptocurrency shutdown, I mean, I really have to hand it to Japan. I mean, people probably only, I'm sure that you would rather have your Bitcoin back rather than the value of Bitcoin at the time of the problem.
You know what? I didn't even realize it was there because I saw the writing on the wall and I was out. And I'd moved over to Coinbase. But yeah, I wouldn't mind having my 0.1 Bitcoin now, of course, because you know, I would have liked to have had it back when it was 25,000 a coin.
160,000 Bitcoins, so 1.12 billion. So they're presumably not going to liquidate that for him. But yeah, so, and they've paid back the investors. Carpel said it's distasteful. I thought that was an interesting quote.
What's with the drawing in this article as well?
Because it's from a courtroom.
Yeah, you can't take pictures in a courtroom.
Yeah, but so. I've never seen one in that style. It's like a GTA loading screen.
GTA 6, you heard it here first.
But it's because it's, you know, it's in Japan. They probably have like super talented.
Yeah, they just did that digitally. They had like a tablet instead of like pencil and paper.
Level 1 News 2021. And it's like, emboldened by their victory over Lindsay Lohan, Rockstar Games, and GTA 6, you know. Had the stories of Carpels here with the Mountain Gox heist and whatever, and they only changed a few little things so that they wouldn't get completely sued, I guess. I don't know.
You know, the other thing about this is, what if he sells it?
Now, that would depress the market.
Depress? That would shatter it.
I don't think he can handle that many transactions. I mean, we're still at, what, like 20, 25 Bitcoin transactions per second, something like that?
You know, if I were him, I would... There are option markets for Bitcoin now. I would just sell options. I would sell options on the whole thing until one got called, which has never happened because it would destroy the market. And then I would just donate that money to something ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure George Soros is going to see this article and call him, and it's like, I've got a deal I'm going to make with you. It's going to be amazing.
Donate to the Kitten Academy.
But can you imagine how many kittens they could take in with?
They could build, instead of like just having that little room on the back of their house, they could just build a whole amusement park.
It's not just one room. There's the actual Kitten Academy. There's the annex. There's the Kitten Run in the backyard. They have a lot of infrastructure for cats.
But they could think how much more they could do.
They really could. They could buy like an old Walmart or something. And just fill it full of cats. Can you
imagine?
Think
of the smell when you walk in. Or cats.
But... You could run carbon filters all day long.
Well, and it would be fine. No one would know.
Yeah, it's a Kitten Academy in literally, you know, a class 6 clean room.
People in suits administering to the cats. They're just constantly tearing into them. Someone send this to if you know this guy, send him that idea.
With our luck, it would end up turning a profit. It's like streaming services. It's like you got to pay.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Oh, you can have like really nice cameras.
No, listen. I will take care of it. I'll run. We'll find ourselves a nice empty Kmart or a Walmart or something, and we'll get this started. We'll run it as a nonprofit.
But we'll be profiting because we'll have all the kitty love.
Well, you know, I'll pay myself a salary.
That's enough of that. We'll see you in the next one. And now for something completely different.